5 years ago, I was emerging from a season of illness, and my partner Jason and I joined the Episcopal community in Bakersfield, California, seeking the wholeness and healing offered in the body of Christ. Shortly after we joined, we received a request and apprehensively uttered a three-letter word that would change the course of our lives. This blessed request was from our priest in charge, calling to ask if Jason and I would be interested in starting a food outreach ministry. And oh, by the way, also, would you be interested in being the youth ministers as well? We thought, what in the world is Reverend Tim thinking? But we said yes, and we were eager to dive right in. St. Paul's had this opportunity to develop these ministries because the Diocese of San Joaquin is one that endured a recent theological schism, and the courts had awarded our congregation a property in downtown Bakersfield. Now that we had a building, it was time to facilitate the ministry that Jesus called us to do. And we began to discern the best way to serve our brothers and sisters in our community. At this time, I was building my strength to go back to work. And both Jason and I had been praying for guidance and direction of where to focus my time. Because prior to getting sick, I had worked in politics and oil and gas, and I knew those seasons were over. So I thought the food outreach and the youth ministry would be a productive way to gain my strength as I waited for God to answer my prayers. I might have been a little dense in hearing the Holy Spirit at this time. However, these ministries are what allowed me the opportunity to not only acknowledge, but then to discern my call to serve the church, and they are what led me here to CDSP. Now, at St. Paul's, we discerned that a food pantry co-op would be the best way for our congregation to serve the least of these in our community. Our co-op model offered a reciprocal relationship rather than one-way giving, and our membership was available to anyone who was willing to pay a small fee of $1, $3, or $5 into our grocery fund, or they could work 30, 60, or 90 minutes with us at the co-op. The food was the icebreaker for the ministry that Jesus calls us to do. If members worked with us on a consistent basis, we offered job references for their applications. If they had interviews, we offered ensembles for their interview. We worked as a congregation to get several individuals into rehab programs and did what we could to help our members recognize that they were beloved children of God who deserve sobriety. And half of our members were unhoused, and so we did what we could to offer resources to gaining housing. In the co-op, everyone was equal, and it was a community of broken people trying to experience wholeness through Christ together. We were a family. At times, the ministry was heartbreaking and frustrating, but the beauty, love, and joy made it all worthwhile. In 2015, this joy came crashing down for me when I experienced the death of a loved one who I continue to struggle living without. And their death was partially caused by alcoholism. When I returned to the co-op, my phone and my precious photos and videos that had yet to be uploaded was stolen, and it was later traced to a known heroin hub in downtown Bakersfield. It was gone. And almost every person at the co-op either struggled with addiction or was deeply affected by it. And at this point, my anger, judgment, and grief boiled to a point where it prevented me from having any compassion or love for the least of these in my community. I excused myself from working with the people and spent all of my time in behind-the-scenes logistics. Life in Christ, life in ministry, and life in community are difficult because of human ego and sin. And it was my ego and sin that were just as much in the way as those who were blinded by the demons of addiction. 6 months passed, and I was deep in an anger stage of the grief cycle with self-imposed walls between me and God. One night I had a vision, and it was my deceased loved one who came to me as a messenger to encourage me to recognize my sin, God's grace, and to refocus my energy to the work that God was calling me to do. They were fully healed and whole in Christ, and I needed to allow that for myself. This vision allowed me to experience reconciliation and to find peace and to return and serve my Christian family. Today's gospel message teaches one of the core tenets of our faith, and it presents a challenging command for the human ego. Our Ezekiel scripture conveys that human beings are naturally selfish, protective, slow to forgive and forget, and our quest for survival and prosperity. Our gospel is difficult because living like Christ requires vulnerability to serve our collective brokenness in this world. It is hard, it is uncomfortable, and sometimes feels like the trenches rather than the love and fulfillment we are seeking. It is naive to consider that our actions that are freely given out of love and generosity will always be received with gratitude and goodwill that reflects our own. And in our calls to serve and live as Jesus instructed, we are agreeing to live in community with those who are struggling and often cause contention. And when we will have our hearts broken by those who are not capable of recognizing their worth and continue down their destructive paths, and perhaps it may be ourselves. We are committing to have our spiritual and physical well-being challenged by the sin of this world. And yet here is Jesus commanding us to provide love, hospitality, generosity, forgiveness, and inclusiveness to all whom we encounter, especially the least of these among us. And if we aren't in with the least of these, then we are missing Jesus. The reality is that we are all in the role of being the least of these at one point in our life. We will all be in situations that need the service of others to help us endure our pain and struggles. And our yes to Jesus, although it is hard and messy, allows us to serve as vessels for the Holy Trinity to facilitate wholeness, healing, and community that enables us to endure this brokenness. What makes life and ministry to be sustainable is complete reliance on the Holy Trinity and our trust that we are doing God's work rather than our own. Our call is to love others, and this requires constant forgiveness, responsible generosity, and appropriate boundaries. And most importantly, grace for ourselves and others. However, our intentions and behaviors of generosity and righteousness need to be carefully and continually examined. Scripture teaches of punishment and judgment, but if our motivation is derived from fear of Christ's judgment and eternal damnation, then our efforts are going to continually fail and fall short of what God is needing us to do. It's a complicated and continual discernment of where we are allowing grace in our lives and actions, where we are called to serve Christ through serving others, and where we are called to say yes to the Holy Trinity. Saying yes can be a ministry such as serving in food outreaches like our co-op or the Open Door Dinner, being Eucharistic ministers to those who are not able to come to church, attending the detention center vigils and praying or visiting those who are incarcerated, and then our All Souls new effort to build affordable senior housing. But it can also be simple, like being generous with water, protein bars, and food to those who are hungry and on the streets, or calling and checking in on someone who is enduring illness or grief. Greeting strangers by looking in them in the eye, smiling, and acknowledging the holiness within them. Today's feast of Christ the King reminds us that our allegiance is to be with our heavenly authority and not to the sins and human ego of this world. As we approach Advent and the season of Christ's coming, where are you being called to say yes and serve God's kingdom as a vessel for Christ? Does it include radical compassion, generosity, and hospitality, as Jesus instructed?